You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Forget private jets, hanging with Seinfeld, or Biscuit morphing into a ferret for that kids movie. Because what I gotta talk about is that goddamn computer, Carol. Not because she called me a blowhard. Let's be honest, that's just accurate. But she called my man DJ Lou Fatso. Fucking Fatso! And that is just some vicious and slanderous shit right there. You pay no mind to her, Lou. You're like one healthy deuce and a garden salad away from having the body of a young James Vanderbeek. So don't let that computer wench get you down. Chin up, kid, and go fuck yourself, Carol. Later!
Wow, you really know how to make a long story long. I'm just busting your balls, Jimmy. Happy birthday, kid. Later.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
All right. We're in it, man. The Pete and Sebastian Show, come hell or high water, and we are in high water. I got major 8-foot fucking swells right now. Sorry for the F-bomb. I'm out at sea. But we're doing a show. Sebastian's, where are you, in the Capitol?
I'm in the Capitol. I just arrived here in my room, checked in, and got it all together. I know we have limited amount of time here, so... But come on. I mean, the way we do this show is we get it out. I mean, the commitment here is extraordinary. I don't think I've ever seen two guys try and figure out how to do a show once a week more than we have.
No, it's absolute MacGyver shit going on. And, you know, of course we appreciate all the listenership and the new people that have Facebook hit me on Facebook saying they just got new to the cast. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you as part of the show. But still, can it be acknowledged a little? I mean, last week's show was like from sea to shore. This is some heavy shit, man. Nobody cares. Just bring us the show, right?
Yeah, they don't care how it's done. Just get it there. So we're up and running, folks. Pete, you got your family on board. I just got a tweet, I think, last week, and a listener suggested we might start each show with a segment called Chip Talk.
I just got a couple things to say. I have my whole family on board, and it's been actually a lot more fun than any of us had anticipated it would be. Everybody's just having a great time. The most important thing is Sadie's having a great time. But, bro, just human behavior. I just don't know how, as a president, the president just doesn't sometimes turn around and look at the entire country and go, I'm doing my best, folks. But, you know, I have to say, you people disgust me. In a nutshell, I found the inside track about a situation where the boat used to have room service, and the charge was like a measly $5 for delivery. But then one of the hoity-toities, big people, big dogs in charge of the boat, came on one week and saw all the trays of food out in front of the hallways, because they're not supposed to do that, but people take it out of their cabin, they want it out of their cabin. So he was so disgusted, he said, let's make it $8 for room service. That'll be just enough that people won't want to pay the $8, and then we won't have room service. Forget it. Right?
Wait a minute. This guy willing to sacrifice the revenue on room service for the cleanliness of the hallways?
Yeah, this is a top flight ship, and I don't want to talk much about the ship because I don't want to get in any kind of trouble, but it's top flight. They just got 100 for their award for cleanliness. I mean, it's really a nice boat, man.
Mm.
But in his head, I think he's thinking, they're still going to eat. They'll just have to go to the dining hall and eat.
Well, don't... Do you do this move? Don't you do the tray on the outside?
I do the tray on the outside when I'm at a hotel, but when you're on a ship, you're in a cabin. These cabins are so small, I just don't eat in my room. I always eat out, right? So yeah. The idea is you'll have to come and you'll eat out. So now what does everybody do? Dude, this is why I'm just can't take it. They're taking full plates from the buffet with hot food. I mean, like, everything from steak, meatloaf with peas and gravy overall. Just walking into the elevator with plates of hot food, open air, hitting it. Recycled air, just hitting it. And then they go down the elevator. Press four for me. And then they scurry into their rooms and they eat it. And then the buffet dish is just out in the hallway. And then just lining the hallways with half-eaten food from the buffet that they're not supposed to be doing.
Oh, God. You're right. The president needs to make a monthly announcement. It's just a monthly reminder. Clean up after yourselves. Look presentable. I mean, it seems like you're on the boat with a bunch of animals.
People are laughing at us all over the world. They think we're stupid, and we are. I mean, we're being led by stupid people. We're being led by people that don't have a clue they're incompetent.
Maybe you're the voice of the ship.
Hi, Captain Steubing. Howard Gopher and Doc. Permission to come aboard, sir.
Listen. First of all, the fact that we're doing ship talk once a week, I'm the voice of the ship, this is not going well, all right? We're not aspiring to anything to do with this ship. We just do what we do and we get the hell off, all right?
I know, but can't you open the act with some type of humor in regards to, hey, guys, you want to clean the plates out of the hole?
Well, that you got to be a little careful with, but like yesterday we stopped at some island called Tortola, and, you know, nobody ever goes there. So as I said, I open up and I make fun of that and they like that. But you got to toe the line, dude. You don't even understand. First of all, the other day, Saturday, I go in my room. There's a woman in a safety uniform, you know, all white officer's uniform, coming down the hallway with another, like, person in doctor scrubs, and they have plastic containers, and they're knocking on all the doors for urine samples for drug testing. Crazy,
what?
Dude. And then, you know, she gets up to me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not on your list. And she's like, well, I'll check. And I go, well, even if I am, I'm not, so, you know. And she's like, oh, you're not here. I'm like, yeah, what are you talking about?
Oh, God. So, have you used the Rosetta Stone yet?
No, I haven't used it, but I went down there and I videotaped it for the Pete. I did a little tour for the Pete of the inner workings of the ship. and dude, check this out. It's so, one of these things you have to do, it's so annoying, is you're on the ship for a whole week. Then when you get back to Miami, the first time you get back, you have to get off, go through customs, and then come back onto the boat. And then you're free to get off the boat if you want to go into Miami. It's very odd, right? But you can't get off the boat until the last passenger gets off. And everyone, all the crew, is waiting for the last passenger to finally get off. And this woman, she's with her son, right? Older black woman, and her son's got to be like 18. And he's one of these guys, he's got his pants hanging down a little bit. And, you know, he's they're walking in. Apparently, they didn't pay their bill. And they're saying they did. I'm sure they did. The boat is so annoying. And the kid's really pissed. And he's going, this is fucking bullshit. Fuck Norwegian, you know. And his mom is yelling at him, like, you know, Anthony, stop yelling. You're going to get us in trouble. And security's like, hey, watch your mouth. And he's like, yo, get your fucking hands off me. And then he, like, knocks them away, and then they pull out the handcuffs, and I'm like, oh, dude, I literally want to go up to the kid and go, dude, just shut up for 5 more minutes, bro, 5 more minutes. And, you know, and it's just, and his mom is begging and pleading with him, you know, and literally they're getting ready to cuff him. And, you know, all the security officers are foreign on the boat. I don't, you know, really understand them that well. And I pull out my cell phone, and I start recording it for the Pete. And then, so as it's going down, then one of the security guards comes running up to me and he goes, stop taping, you know, and I turn it off. And the mom throws the kid against the wall and just berates him and drags him out so violently that the security doesn't even arrest him. I mean, she saved him. She freaking saved him. And then they come running up to me, and they're like, one of them's like, let me see your camera. And I hold it up, you know, and there's a photo of Sadie. And he's like, you record it? I go, no, it's just my daughter. I was looking at my daughter. She's adorable. Look at my daughter. And he goes, no, you swipe. You know, so I'm swiping, and I totally get to the, it's, you know, clearly like I'm videotaping the fight. So I swipe past it. You know, and he goes, no, go back. So I swipe past it the other way. And he's like, you keep passing. And then the black kid comes running in and yells one more thing. And the security guard's attention is totally turned for a second. And I turn back and I fucking record it. So, I mean, I delete it. So then when he looks back, I go, I told you, guy, there's nothing here. What are we doing? And like my heart is racing. And I'm like, dude, I got a special coming out in 2 weeks. I feel like I'm on a fucking Navy submarine, man. I'm about to be, you know, put in lockup.
Oh, man. The woman got out of her wheelchair?
She wants to get out of the wheelchair.
Get up in Jesus.
I'm telling you the power of
get
God.
Get up in
calling.
Jesus' name.
Get up in the name of Jesus.
Rise.
Strengthen her, Lord.
Walk.
Move that leg. Walk in the name of Jesus. Walk in the name of Jesus. Walk.
No, she wasn't in a wheelchair, but she just, you know, she just went off on a son, just saved him. But it was insane, dude, and it's just, it's crazy, man, being involved in all this. And then I tried to take Sadie in the kiddie pool, and there's big kids in the kiddie pool, like, you know, they're like 8, like 13, 14 years old. And I can't really say anything because I'm like, you know, kind of an employee here. So I'm doing little subtle stuff, like the kid's on the little pool slide and Sadie's waiting to go. And I'm like, hold on. And he's got his bathing suit on. He's touching. And I go, hold on. He's got to fix his diaper. And he's like, I don't wear a diaper. And I go, then what are you doing in the baby pool? What, are you afraid to go in the big kid pool? You know, and then I just kind of subtly walk away. And then another one of them's floating, and I pick up Sadie right next to him and his big, heavy-set kid. And I go, you look like a fool in here. You look like a fool.
You got no filter, man. It just comes out.
No, these kids, dude, it's like they just run around. The parents get on the ship, and they just basically say, listen, we got one rule. Don't jump off. We'll see you Saturday.
Oh, man.
So that's that. Before we get into your end, I just want to do a few thank yous, man. A few thank yous that I keep forgetting to do for the Pete and Sebastian show here. And the first one is, you would know better than me. Do you have the name of the, I believe it's a young lady who put together the catalog of all past shows and the outline of what took place?
I don't know the name off the top of my head, and I don't got my computer up, but a woman. Do you know the name?
No, I don't have it in front of me. We'll get that up on the Facebook page and give her a proper thank you, but that's really something, man.
Yeah, she wrote a description of each episode so you could kind of reference it, like archive it, and a lot of work went into that, so we have to definitely give her a proper thank you on the social media, but whoever that is, I forget the name off the top of my head. Thank you very much.
Then I also want to thank, I did a, from the ship, I did an interview with David Kribles for Newsday, and it's going to come out on the Sunday edition in a couple of weeks. Big article, big long talk we had. Big fan of the Pete and Sebastian show. I mean, just a huge fan of it, and we really thank you for that, brother. Thanks for the article. So he's going to have a big mention of the cast, too, in the Sunday edition of the Newsday in a couple of weeks.
Perfect.
And lastly, I got to get this name too, but dude, I get a text, I meant to tell you, a tweet about a month ago from a guy, I got to find a name and shit, but he goes, this is the power of friendship and the army we get going with this. He goes, I went to the town of Fredonia and I looked up in Wikipedia, you know how they have for each town, they have notable people?
Yeah.
And he goes, you weren't in there. He goes, you weren't there. I fixed that. So then I go to Fredonia, I look up Wikipedia, and under notable people, there's like generals from the Civil War, and then there's Pete Corielli.
You don't know that guy's name either?
I don't have it, dude. I'm on the boat. I'm handicapped here. I travel light.
We're the only show that says thank you to no names.
Which they know who they are. They know. They're sitting out there and they know I'm the one, and that's all that matters, man. You know? By the way, dude, there's a one kid on here who loved to MC. Apparently he was gonna make this his life. Just, you know, be like, when he would do this boat, he'd do it for like 4 months at a pop, and he was really starting to love it. Got a little too comfortable. Walking the hallways one day, had a few words with security. They did a breathalyzer. He was, apparently there's a limit. You can't be over a certain limit. Even he wasn't working that night or anything. And they booted him.
This is unbelievable. This sounds like the Soviet Union.
I mean, listen, I just stay in my, I don't socialize, so I get a six pack, I go in my room, it don't matter. I'm not looking to be the, you know, Captain Steubing man, but it is kind of funny, you know, it's like, I'd be like, what do you think you're doing to me? Guy, you're not doing any of that, all right? When we get to the next stop, I'll get off with my bags. I'm not blowing into anything for anybody on this thing. So, all right. Anyway, what do you got? What are we talking? Let's take it to someplace on land.
So on land, what's going on here? There's just been a lot going on with the house, just kind of adjusting some things, taking some stuff out of the budget. We got to cut some things that were extra. So, but that's not really what I want to talk about, but that's consuming most of my time this week. There's a couple of things I want to talk about. Number one being... when I say these things, man, I want you and the listeners to know that I'm not saying it at all because I'm bragging, but this private jet deal, I took the last one from Dallas. Now, I had a show at the Improv, at the Addison Improv in Dallas, and that same night, Sunday night, Oddball Comedy Tour was in town in Dallas, and the promoter had offered me a ride back on the jet.
Nice.
He said, meet us at the gig, and then from the gig, we'll take a shuttle to the airport. Now, I get a driver to take me to the gig, and I'm running late. The show ran a little late. I get back to the hotel. The driver's there at the hotel. I come out, I got my bags, and right when he gets out of the car, the way he's moving, I know that this is going to be a problem. He's moving very slow. Puts the bag in the car, gets in the car, and he takes out a Garmin. A Garmin is a brand of GPS for directions. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I didn't know, but he pulls out a GPS, basically.
Yeah. Now, when GPS first came out, and it wasn't on your phone, this Garmin thing was hot. You, like, suction cupped it to the windshield.
I had a TomTom.
Yeah, TomToms, too. Same Jesus. Thing.
What did he use his feet like the Flintstones and push the car to?
Since then, every smartphone has a map application, and I'm guessing 80%, maybe even higher, of the United States population, when going on a road trip or trying to find out directions to somewhere, uses their map on their iPhone or Android, right?
So I think some wallets have GPS now. What are you fucking kidding me?
So... if you're a professional driver and you're whipping out the TomTom or the Garmin and he was waiting there for me. So he waited till I got in the car to type in where we were going. And I'm like, what were you doing while you were waiting? Shouldn't that be up and running already? Why do I gotta sit in the back seat? I'm in a hurry, and I gotta hear the guy typing in the street number, the name, and then the thing's talking the whole ride. You know, it's like, could you put like an earphone in? You know, it's like, I don't want to hear turning right.
Yeah.
On. Oh my.
Oh. Hey, listen, we're still on yours, but just I want to give a slight interjection. Last week, I was going to Miami. The guy in the front, same thing, punches it in. He can't get it. I'm doing it on mine at the same time, and mine goes, are you ready to start? And he goes, oh, you got it? We'll use yours. So I had to hold mine up through the window, through the fucking little partition. So you're biting your nails hoping you make this jet, man, right?
Absolutely, and he's driving the speed limit. I mean, people are passing us. I mean, it's like 35 miles an hour. I'm like, guy, go to 45, man. That's just the 35 is a suggestion. Get it up to 45.
Yeah, yeah, come on, man.
I always do this. I get in a car, whether it be a cab and or a car service. I type in on my map to see if they're following the right directions.
Absolutely, so, bro. You got to do that on stage, dude. I do that shit too, but you have to take that to the stage.
It's funny. I'm looking, the guy's approaching the street, and I'm looking at my map, and it says turn right. Now, he doesn't know that I'm doing this because I got earphones on. So I'm sitting there looking at him, and I'm going, this guy ain't going to take a right here. He's not going to take a right. So we go to the next street, and I get the rerouting. And then when it reroutes, it also calculates the amount of time that it's going to take to get there. So the time, every time he misses a turn, the time is increasing. So at the third missed turn, I go, hey, guy, you gonna turn soon? He goes, no, it's quicker if I go to the toll. Hey, it ain't quicker, man. You just lost 4.5 minutes on my thing. Okay? You don't think I'm seeing this?
He's old school, man. He's old school.
Old school, man. Like, I'm sorry, those days are over. The computer knows the quickest route. I'm sorry. I don't care what you say. If you type in, there's an application called Waze, W-A-Z-E. It actually calculates the traffic, and people communicate with each other through Waze. So let's say if you and Jackie are on a road trip and there's an accident, Jackie will type in this application that there's an accident and off to the right, and it will notify all other drivers, slow down, there's an accident. So it takes the information of its users and calculates the best route. I'm sorry, whatever route you got in your head that you used to take that was quick, throw it out the window and look at the applications, okay?
Yeah, you're like waiting for him to bang it right, and all of a sudden you pick up 10 minutes and you're like, oh, now I know what this guy's doing.
Unless this guy's going to go off-roading, you don't got the right way, man.
Yeah. Well, it is a private jet, so there always is that aspect of, you know, they can wait and, you know. Ooh, but, you know, wait, you weren't even on the
ship. Guy. I'm low man on the totem pole on this jet, okay? So the people that are on the jet are the headliners of the tour. You think they're gonna wait for a guy who's not even doing the tour and is coming from the club?
Well, on paper, no, okay? But you've done some of the shows with them, and I'm talking like if the tour manager hopped on the jet and just said, listen, we were going to do it. Sebastian was playing. We're going to do him a favor and give him a lift. He's literally going to be here in 20 minutes. Can you guys hold out 20 minutes? Is that cool? I mean, is that really? I mean, I know they're rocking and rolling, but 20 minutes, man?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't have to answer that. I hear you, man.
Nothing against the people. I don't even think I would have waited. Unless it was you, I would have said, wheels up!
Well, that's the thing, man. I know you, so I'd be like, I'd be like, we're waiting. I'd be like, goddamn Armageddon. We gotta get off the comet now. I'm like, we wait.
Shit. So this guy is taking his time, and I said, you know, I don't know how you say this without coming off as being an ass. But if you're in a cab or a car, short of saying to the guy, you want to speed up? I don't know how the hell you put that nicely. So I tried it this way. I said, hey, man, I don't want you getting in an accident or a speeding ticket, but I'm on a time crunch here. Could we go a little faster? And I got a, yeah, sure. But I don't think his brain told his foot, you know? I got the sure. Yeah. And we stayed at the same mile per hour. Like, when were you thinking of putting it in the gear, guy? I was the first one there, and I got on the plane, and literally 2 minutes after I got on the plane, the rest of the group got on, shut the doors, and we were off. Now, we're on the plane. Having a great time, by the way. It's like six comedians on the plane. It was nice. Just hanging, talking, bullshit. I go to the bathroom, and the bathroom's up front. And I come out of the bathroom, and I see the cockpit. Now, I've never actually been in a cockpit while the plane was in the air. I've seen it, but I've never really, like, sat down and got an education on it. So I go, let me talk to these guys. I said, guys, show me what's going on here. Do you need all this stuff that, you know? Sometimes you got, like, a car, and whatever's on your car, your dashboard, you go, I never use that button. I go, are all these buttons needed? He goes, oh, yeah, everything's needed here. And he starts going into a full tutorial of how the plane works. Now, they're not even flying the damn thing. It's on autopilot. So they're telling you to put the coordinates in, you do this, and he goes, I got something for you to do. We need to go a little faster. Why don't you take the throttle? And I'm like, hey, man, listen, I ain't touching any of these controls. He goes, no, just that's all you have to do is, like, just give it a little kick, you know, just a little kick. And I go, okay. So I just gave it a little tug. I gotta tell you, man, when you give a little touch to the joystick of a jet, you don't feel any more like a man. I mean, the way it makes you feel, it's like you want to take this thing. I wanted to join the Navy.
My God.
I mean, I didn't put this thing into hyperspace, but I cranked it up a little bit, and you could feel the plane kind of kick into gear, and I'm like, wow, this is something. So, man, I hung up.
I got to tell you, though, when you told me that they let you touch the joystick and put the thrust forward a little, all I was thinking in my head is, Jesus Christ, they probably let Amy Schumer land the goddamn thing. I mean, you weren't even on the show and they're letting you push the throttle. Although you were on other ones, man. I'm just saying, it was funny. So, holy shit, this is cool. All right, keep going. What's up? So where were you going?
No, they were just talking about, you know, how planes are kind of built and what planes are better than others. He said if you get on a Boeing commercial airliner, Boeing, apparently, according to this pilot, is like the Mercedes of planes. The Airbus could have some technical difficulties with some computer glitches and whatnot. Not like it's going to fall out of the sky, but he said that the Airbus is a little over-engineered. So just a little tidbit for our listeners. If you're looking for a nice, nice commercial airline, go Boeing. And this is a shout-out to Boeing. If you want to sponsor the show, please, by any means, get in contact with our representatives. We'll put you on.
Yeah, Boeing needs to do advertising about as bad as McDonald's does. Wow, dude. That is really something, man.
It was nice. It was nice. And Lana picked me up at the airport, and that was that. So I came back at the Dallas Improv last week. It was great. And now I'm in D.C. and Philadelphia this weekend. And, yeah, man, that's kind of where we're at. Give me some Monarios. Do we have any of these?
No, we don't, because I went to pull them all up. No, I'm going to tell you why, though. Because I went to pull them all up, and then I thought, and we're on the ship, we're breaking up in and out, and I wanted to have a good land-to-land connection when we play, because a lot of people handed in a lot of Monarios.
Okay.
And yeah, so I wanted to save it till we could kind of really do it well, I guess you'd say.
You there?
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm going over some notes. By the way, Jackie and I went out one night. My in-laws are on the boat, and they babysat Sadie one night. And we're like, let's just go out and have some fun. Had a great time, actually, on the damn boat. We had sushi. And I bring it up because we went to, I always wanted to do it. I never checked it out or anything. I wanted to wait till she was with me. We went to one of those ice bars. They have them on the ship. You ever go to one of those where the entire bar is made of ice?
Oh, yeah, I've been to one, but I haven't, like, spent a lot of time at it. I think we walked in and kind of saw it from afar.
Yeah, well, you can only spend, like, 15 minutes at it because it's 17 degrees. But I've seen them on TV, like on Travel Channel, where literally the bar stools are ice, the bar is ice, all the walls are ice. So even, you know, your martini glass, everything is ice. So we pay the money, you get the big garb they put on you, like the big overcoat, and you go in, and oh my God.
Oh, no, I haven't seen this. I've never been to one of these. I apologize. I didn't know that this thing was, you're going into an igloo.
Yeah, well, have you ever seen on the Travel Channel, there's a place in Iceland where when the winter kicks in, they come in with construction, with bulldozers and stuff, and sculptors, and they create, every year, they create a hotel entirely of ice. I mean, your bed is ice. The front desk is ice. Everything is ice. And you know, they put cool lights in it and stuff, but you, even when you sleep, you're sleeping on a bed of ice, but you're in, like, bare skin rugs and shit, and it's just something you do, I guess, man. It looks cool to see, but, I mean, you know, sleep there, it's a little fucking weird. But you've never seen that?
Nah, I've heard of this place, but I've never been into... I've been into a place with an ice bar, but you're in your regular clothes, and you just leave your drink on the ice bar, and it keeps it chilled. I never heard of ice walls.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what this was supposed to be, but we walk in. Oh, my God, what a bust. First of all, you open up the main door, and then you got to go through the second door. And you know when you're going into, like, a restaurant meat locker and they got them plastic strips hanging from the doorway to keep the cold in? You got to kind of put your fingers in between.
Oh, yeah.
Knock those flaps out of the way. I mean, so you're knocking that shit out of the way. Right away, you're like, what am I walking in? And then you walk in and it's just a giant walk-in cooler. And they have, like, ice sculptors around the sides. And the bar is made of ice, but then they got a piece of plastic over it and... You know, your glass is made of ice, but you can't hold it, so they put it in plastic. And then you're supposed to sit there and sip a drink, but then the fans from the walk-in cooler are over your head just blowing that shit. It lasted like 15 minutes, and then you got a bail on it, but it was kind of a bust.
When they found Carbone in the meat truck, he was frozen so stiff it took them 2 days to thaw him out for the autopsy.
But, yeah, I just didn't know if you've ever done one, because apparently they can be really cool, but this was, like, ridiculous. I gotta get off this boat and get re-stimulated, man.
Do we got another week on this damn thing?
Yeah, my family gets off, and then I'm doing one more week. And then I come home, I do Long Island for 2 days, and then I gotta go on this Just for Laughs tour in Cancun, Mexico for 8 days. Then I get home for 2 days. Then I go to Edmonton. It's like, dude, I got a special coming out, and I'm in every country but my own. What the fuck?
Wow. Make sure you bring a lot of merchandise to that Edmonton gig. There's a lot of people with a lot of cash out there. They I don't know if you've ever been there, but they buy like it's going out of style.
Oh, yeah, I know. Trust me. I got about 100 bouncy T-shirts made up. It's a silhouette of me bouncing. And below it says a little bouncy.
Yeah, bring it.
This just in. An MLB notice.
Yes!
To the New York Mets. It says, you are off to the World Series to represent the National League because... You are the National League Championship New York Mets! And by the way, Chicago's the cleanest city in the world right now because it just got swept. Let's go, Mets!
Congratulations to the Met fans. Sorry to the Chicago fans. I mean, what else?
Yeah, man, this is big deal here. I think the Mets got a shot at winning the World Series. I mean, they swept the Cubs 4-0. And this was the year for the Cubs, according to Back to the Future, but we didn't make that come true. But, the Mets are in the World Series.
Yeah, and if Jim Brewer, he probably did too, did one of those recaps for every Met game, and then they win it all. I mean, I could see the Mets calling up going, we want to add that to the package for the World Series DVD that was selling.
You know what? That's a great idea. That's... He's been doing all that. Actually, I've been in communication with Brewer over this whole Mets-Chicago Cubs series because I'm from Chicago. I like the White Sox more, but we were just kind of bouncing texts back and forth. I said, are you at the game? He's like, yeah, I'm here. You know, we were just kind of trading texts. And, yeah, I mean, I talked to him at the Just for Last Comedy Festival, and he said he was doing this thing all year. And what a year to pick to do Mets recap when they go to the World Series. So we also had J.J. Watt reach out to us. We haven't talked about Watt in a while. And he put us on a text thread, and he didn't know that you weren't able to respond because you were on the boat. So he's actually asking for some recommendations of comedians that he'd like to kind of download and watch. And I thought it'd be an interesting topic for us to kind of maybe get into is if you were going to suggest comedians for one to watch. Do you have like three suggestions of comedians that you like that you think someone else might enjoy?
Yeah. First of all, I do have to say I bought for the travel to the ship. I think it was Men's Health. J.J. Watt was on the cover, and it says He gives workout tips. So I ripped that out to like hold on to do on a future show. But on the cover of the magazine, he's got no shirt on, and he's like all ripped with the six-pack. And have you ever done this move? I ripped the cover off and threw out the cover because I felt uncomfortable traveling and open, you know, with the man with a six-pack.
I've never done that, but that's actually a good move.
Oh, I just ripped the cover right off. Even if I got a book that, like, I'm not going to give, I'm just going to throw out. Sometimes I just rip the cover off so no one can go, oh, I read that.
That's funny. Oh,
but in this
funny
case, yeah, he was all beaded up with sweat with the six-pack. And I'm like, you know, I mean, I have text conversations with the man. It's a little too close.
Yeah, although, it's actually a good move. I'm going to have to try that move. He also, I don't know if you saw this while you were on the boat, and just inspiring. The guy came to the children's hospital dressed up as Batman and played with the kids. Could you get any more of a better Samaritan than this guy? Because Lana and I were talking about this the other night, you know, and I don't, we haven't even talked about this. You know, with all that's going on, you know, you do comedy, you're on the boat, you're raising the family, you got a baby. Does charity work come in at any of this? You and Jackie ever talk about that? Like, what are we doing? What's our part here?
Well, I mean, what should we do? Should we do a special Pete and Sebastian fundraiser show?
I don't know, man. I'm just thinking, you know, we watched a piece on 60 Minutes the other night for Make-A-Wish Foundation and how these people give up their time and their money and energy to make a kid's wish come true, and the kid's dying. He wants to go to Australia, and they present him with the plaque, and he's wide-eyed, and he's shaking. He's so excited. And I'm sitting on the couch going, shouldn't we be doing something?
Well, no. You know, man, I do what I can. I'm not in a position yet.
What do you mean not in a position? You can't go down. Listen, I did this one year. I think we might have even talked about it on the show. Four Christmases ago, I said, you know what? Instead of
of sitting at home drinking wine and making food. Let's go down to the Laugh Factory and hand money out, or not money, food out. Laugh Factory does like a food drive where they open their doors to anybody in LA who wants to come.
Did you we had talk mentioned about that on the cast. Yes.
And I got angry that the homeless people were taking too much food.
Yeah, man. But it's so you're serving food. That's like you know, you do the Alzheimer's charity. That's something. I mean, you can't do everything.
Yeah, no, we got a big show in New York that we're raising money for the Alzheimer's, which is great. And you know, people are gonna come out, and you know, Mazzilli's donating his club. I'm donating the show, and we're raising money. So that's a good thing. When I did the homeless thing, I didn't mean to say that I was angry that the people were taking too much food. I was just saying that they were coming in. They didn't even look like they were homeless, and they were upset with the portions. And I was like, guy, we got 2,000 people in line. Take your chicken breast and go sit down. So I don't know. I'm just saying I want to know. And maybe some of the listeners are out there going, hey, I donate my time to XYZ organization, and it makes me feel good that I'm giving back to the community, I'm giving back to people who need it. And maybe people need suggestions if they are looking to get involved with a certain group or a certain charity. And I just wanted to present the topic to you and see where you were at in regards to giving back. And it sounds like you're fine.
No, I wish I could do more. Now, if I was in a position, man, I'm all about cancer, man.
All right. Is there anything that you know about cancer that you could tell people what organization to join, or do we need to research this stuff?
It's everywhere. What are you kidding me? Wear pink and donate money, man.
There you have it. By the way, Pete's charitable organization.
Yeah, listen, and with charity, it's like, you know, you could go down and shovel macaroni and cheese on a dish, but it's all about the ka-ching, ka-ching. Fork over the cash, folks. Fork over some cash.
Oh, man.
I just want to go on record, too, saying if I was a little kid and J.J. Watt was coming to the hospital, I'd prefer he wore his uniform than a Batman cape. You know what I mean? It's like, he's the only guy who... It's like, you're J.J. Watt, baby. Take the mask off. Put on the pads. Let me see the jersey.
Versatility, though, man. I mean, this guy's walking in. The guy looked like... First of all, the costume was so fantastic. I had to text him. I go, where do you get that for Halloween? They ain't selling that at Target. Where the hell did you get a Batman outfit that could fit a 300-pound 6'5 Goliath? The fucking Warner Brothers custom made it for him. Ha! Is that nice?
Listen, unfortunately, I got to go upstairs and entertain children. They bring them to the 7 o'clock show. It's ridiculous. Yeah, so I got to go. I will put together my recommendations for Watt for next show, and I will be prepared, bro. I'll have the Monarios ready, and we'll have a real poppin' show next week.
All right, there you have it, the people. Pete is off to go entertain kids, and I am going to go and do some lats downstairs in the gym.
There you go, man. All right, good hanging under the circumstances, brother. Sorry for the short show.
You got it. Take care.
Later.
The show has ended.
Another one of them's floating, and I pick up Sadie right next to him, and his big, heavy-set kid, and I go, you look like a fool in here. You look like a fool.
Oh, jeez.